getting a message on my iPad pretty soon. Once I know it's going to work properly. New toys, you got to test them, right? Okay, so you're all here this morning? Good. We're starting another series this morning, and you're going to love it because it's a series that is means so much. And I did not understand it so much until I began to dig into it, okay? And it's called The Fear of the Lord, all right? We have two things in life that we can measure with God. Grace, which we all need, right? And the fear of God. Those two things, if you balance those two things, your life is going to be awesome. It is. I give you a good opportunity to shout there. You didn't, right? Okay. So this is how I see grace. Grace is God giving to you without strings attached. And this is how I see fear of the Lord, is you giving to others without strings attached. And that is, got to be balanced in your life. It's not about just you, it's about others. And once we begin to go down on this series and look at the fear of God, you're going to see things that maybe you haven't thought before. So there's all, just technically, there's over 600 references to fear in the Bible, meaning of fearlessly and fear, you know, like different words that mention fear, 600 times. About half of them, which is about 300 times, talks about being afraid of something. But the other 300 time is a good thing. It's something that is awesome, something that is a good fear. And how can you have a bad fear and a good fear? I don't like the word fear, how it's translated. But it's fear of God means trust, rely on. It means... I've got down here a couple of words that I marked down so I don't. Respect. Trust, honor, and respect. And this is what we as believers have learned to do. We have to learn that, to trust God, trust His word, respect Him. When we do that and we start to trust and honor, our life change. And we're going to see it in different areas that I'm going to bring to you this morning. So, are you ready to hear the fear of the Lord? Okay, so we're going to go on to... So I've got some note here. What fear... It's not fear of God. It's not God's going to get you. God is standing around the corner, and when you go by, He'll hit you with a baseball bat. He's watching. Yeah? You better be afraid of God. That's what's not. That's not it. We're not talking about that here. Don't be afraid of God. Even if you do wrong, well, you should be upset that you messed up your life. Repent and turn around and go. So that's not what it is. My wife, she was raised as a Roman Catholic and never went to church much. But she knew about the fear of God in the fact, if I don't do right, God's going to get me. And that kept her a good girl. No, we need good girls, right? So if we have a good girl that says no, then we're going to have good boys, right? You're going to have to figure out this one. So she was raised that way, and that kept her. But that's not the fear of God. That's a... being afraid that God's going to get her. We're not talking about that. We're talking about something a lot deeper here today. So what it is, I mentioned it today, it's trust, honor, to respect God or man. How many went to a high school lately? I didn't think you. I went in not that, well, maybe a couple of years ago, and there was a lot of disturbance in the class and this happening, and nobody's listening, and they're passing notes, and you know, the whole thing. There's a lack of respect towards authority, towards teacher. And that's not what God wants us. He wants us to be connect with him, to recognize that he has authority over us. And other people in our life has authority over you. And other people, see, we all come from rebellion. As we grow up, we all rebel to a certain way against God. And sometimes it's still in us a little bit, even though we get saved, turn on to God. It's still like that humanistic spirit, which is me, 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 right? God, bless me, do something for me. And, you know, it's all about me. It's all about my will. It's all about my life. It's all about whatever. It's all about me. So this got to die. You want to succeed in life? This mindset has to go. It's not about that. It's about honoring God, honoring people above you, whether it's business, whether it's church, whether it's government, whatever. Okay? So do you understand so far? You sure? I could call on any one of you and you come and repeat what I said. Okay, that's good. I'll just keep on going. So last series we're going to do is name, I won't bend, I won't bow, and I won't burn. Okay? Meaning there's going to be a lot of opportunity in your life to bend to the world system, you know, to bow to the things that you should not be bowing. And you know what? If you do that, you're going to burn. And you know, the text that I chose today is, we're going to be talking about that text. It's the book of Daniel. The three Hebrew, we call them children, but they probably were about 30 years old or whatever. They were very knowledgeable. They were taken from Jerusalem as youth, teenager, brought into in his palace in Babylon. And we're going to be looking at them. So turn to Daniel 3, verse 1. And if we can put it on the screen. Daniel, book of Daniel. How many knows the story? How many is going to be honest and say, I don't know the story? Well, I guess you all know it. Don't have to read it. So I'll start at verse 1, and we'll just read a little bit. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, close to 100 feet. That's 60 cubits. That takes a lot of gold. 60 cubits and 6 cubits wide. He set it in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Okay? And then I'm going to pass verse 2, 3, but I'm just going to tell you. He says, I'm going to invite all the people on my board. Bob, anybody else? Peter, you on the board, are you? Some kind of a board. All right, whatever. Let's say you're on the board, okay? I'm going to invite all these people that works for me. And when they come, they're going to bow down before the statue and worship, right? So there was no problem with anybody, but there's three guys that did not want to bow down to an image. You know why? Because they knew the Ten Commandments. You know, the Ten Commandments, boys and girls, they're not bad. They're really, really good. And I'm going to read them shortly. They knew the Ten Commandments, and they didn't want to bow down because they knew that if they choose not to bow down, they would be thrown in a fire, furnace. And you know, I mean, this is kind of like, this is a big deal. You either bow or you burn. Okay, and this is basically, and you know, I could read the rest, but I'm just going to pass a few verses here. So what happened when the music started, the worship service started, nobody bowed. I mean, sorry. Everybody bowed except these three boys stood up, you know. We're not bowing now. You know, no way. I mean, this is not happening. You know, that would be defiling my love for God, because God doesn't want me to bow down to an image. What commandment is that? First commandment? Second? It says, don't take the name, okay, no graven image. Okay, the third commandment, I've got them all. So anyway, so they started. And they stood up, so they brought them to the king. And the king said, okay, I'll give you another chance. He said, no. And I'm going to read what they say, because it's so so important to read the right word. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, oh, sir. It's easier to say sir, I think. We have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace. And he will deliver us from our hands, O king. That's a lot of faith. That is a lot of faith to stand up there and say, king, my God, going to deliver me, right? And then they go on and say, but even if he doesn't, who cares? We are not breaking God's commandment and bowing to your statue, because for them it was really, you know, not honoring God. They fear God enough to know to respect him, to respect his word, to respect his commandment. So what happened then in verse 19 says, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He had a change of thought here, change of life, okay? He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more. So there you go. We're not going to just burn. You're going to burn before you burn. That's seven times, right? This is so. Just to make a long story short, what happened? Strong man took them and threw them in the furnace. And it was so hot that it burned them, and they killed them. So, and they went into the furnace, and then in the midst of the furnace, guess who's there? Jesus is there. And the king is looking, and they're just talking and walking around the heat, you know. I mean, it had to be hot. Had to be hot in there. And he says, we see four men. Three are the one we threw in, and one that look like the Son of Man. See, when you don't bow down, there's a reward. You know, it may not come right away, but it will come. When you make a standard into your life to respect, to honor God and other people around you, there is going to be a reward. Because that's God's word. That's the only thing we can do. So anyway, they knew. I'm going to read you the Ten Commandments. Okay? You okay with that? No other God before me. There's no other God. Okay? TV, cars, plane, whatever. There's no other God. God is first. Don't take the name of God in vain. Even when you hit yourself on the hammer, bang! Oh la la! Oh la la! That's the only time you speak French, right? But don't take his name in vain. It's not his fault if you don't know how to handle the hammer. It's not his fault. Okay? No graven image, meaning statue or picture that you look at and you bow down and you worship. Keep the Sabbath day going, meaning take a day to rest and give it to the Lord, you know. It's a must. I know people sometimes have business. They try to work 7 days a week and all that stuff. But you're burning the candle at the end. God says, take a day off. Take a day to rest, okay? Honor your father and mother. This is another one. Do not kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't be a false witness. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. And don't covet your neighbor's stuff. I kind of put them in my own word. Don't covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's car. Don't do that, you know. Be happy with what you've got. So there it is. Moses comes down the mountain. How many tablets does he have? 2 tablets. How many commandments on one and how many commandments on the other? 4 and 6. Yes. 4. 4 is God is the God of order. Okay? 4 is what you have to do towards God. And 6 is what you have to do towards man. They're different. One here, one there. 4 and 6. Now you can look it up and you can do research on it. And you will see that even in the concordance, you will find picture with 4 and 6. So Jesus says that you can sum those 10 commandments in how many? 2. One to the left, one to the right. What does the one to the left say? Love your God with all your heart. What does the one on the left say? Love your neighbor. So he's not taking us away from the commandment. He's taking us into the commandment and say, listen, if you're my son, if you're my daughter, these are very important. You know, if I love someone, I'm not going to go and kill them. If I love someone, I'm going to lie to them. If I love someone, I'm not going to take their stuff or whatever. So it's all together really works that way. So because they love, honor, and respect God and His word, they said no. The children of Israel, the 3 boys, said no, we're not going to bow. And I'm saying that for you today because there is, as soon as you leave this place, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, there's going to be a place in your life where you can bow to things that you should not bow. And you have to get a hold of yourself and say, I'm not going that way because I love God with all my heart. And I love my neighbor. I'm not going to do that to him. I'm not going to do that to. It's something that I give. Something that's in me. That's something that God puts there. So this is how we have to begin to think. So I'm going to honor, trust, and respect. Now, we live into a different culture now. And a few years ago, they made a survey. Do you know how you got to heat the right thing? You can't heat this, you can't heat that. And it's more prevalent now because the culture says, well, if you want to live longer, don't eat any wheat, right? I'll say that to you, but somebody else is something else. If you want to live longer, and this is... So they made a study why the Japanese people of all nations had a better heart than anybody else around the world in culture. So they went around and they went to Japan and they made a study and they looked at them and they found out that they eat a lot of fish. How many would agree with me? So they said fish oil is the thing. You eat a lot of fish oil, you'll stay more healthy and you live longer. And that's the natural side of it. But I'm talking to you today about the spiritual side of it, not just the natural. The natural can cover maybe half, But the spiritual side will cover a lot more. But they never found out. They never looked at that. The Japanese people always respect their father and their mother. Not knowing the fifth commandment, they don't know it, but it's in the culture that you highly respect your dad, your mom, your grandfather. I mean, they're in a place of authority over you, and no matter what happened in life, you respect them. And the Bible says if you respect your father and mother, what's going to happen? You'll live long. So it's not just a combination of fish oil. It's also a spiritual law that we apply because, you know, if you come here today and I give you a diet for to live longer or fast or whatever, it's okay, but you want the spiritual meat of the word. Respect your father and your mother. Doesn't matter what they did to you. You love them. Doesn't matter if they're dead and gone. You say, listen, I love my dad. This happened, but I don't care. You know, I'm in that place now that I will respect, you know. And we have to respect older people. Respect gray hair. You know what gray hair is? Yes. You know, every Sunday, you guys, let's divide this thing in a section. Let's say this section is the young section. We'll forget about John and Peter. The rest. This section is the young people that come to this church. This section is the old section. Yeah, they, right. 50 years and over. Or 50 year over, you guys, whatever. And this section here, I don't know about this section, but this section, we're not going to even talk about that section, okay? So every week, you rub shoulder with some pretty, pretty wise people. Now, this lady here, a couple of years ago, she gave her testimony. And you know, she has a lot to give. I don't know how come she doesn't have much gray hair. Yeah. Or she hides them or something. But two, you know what? She found her husband shot in her kitchen, right? After she came back from church. You know, died in his blood. And this lady still lived there, still work in the same kitchen. This lady has learned with God that you can do all things. Most of you would still be crying today. I had sold a house, but she faced a lot of things. And she's been with the Lord. She knows so much. She's so wise. But we don't see the 20 years old coming to her and say, Joyce, tell me a little bit about your life. What happened? How did you become a Christian? Because the young stands and walk with the young and the older with the older and listen. That's not the way to be. See, I always wanted a church that's well divided. Young, middle age, old people. Because, you know, the old people are a crown to us. And I'm just not picking on anybody, but Delma. Now, she's the reason we're here, okay? So if you want to blame anybody, blame her, okay? She had the most stubborn man in Trenton. Is that true? That's true. His name was Nick. Now, I preached to him. I shared the gospel to him. And, you know, it was always no, no, no. And I said, Delma, how can you live with this guy? He's a heathen. He won't receive the gospel. It's as clear as you can give it to him. But he stuck all the way. And now you can say, okay, maybe your husband is not safe. You better talk to this lady, you know. She knows God, and she can help you. So we got to rub shoulder with some people that are older and respect their walk. Isn't that true? But thank God, on his deathbed, he gave his heart to the Lord. Right? All right. Now look at Neil here. He's got gray hair. He has wisdom. And I know sometime young people will be channeled to him and say, I want to ask you a question. Okay. And, you know, they ask a question and good. And they walk away from him and they start doing what he says. You know, that is respecting your elder. That is the fear of God and the fear of man. You respect him. You respect her. You respect other people here that they know more than you. Sorry about that. They've been through life. I mean, look at Carol. Where is she? Carol. All right. There you go. She sits by herself. One morning, Easter morning, they tell her son died in a car accident. She knows about crying, wailing. She knows. She's been through something that some of us have been through. And you know what? That's why I say, young people, you got to run shoulder with older people. Because they're a ton of wisdom. Because you know what's going to happen? One morning, maybe Joyce will be gone with the Lord. And I'll say, my sister Joyce is rejoicing today. She's with God. And all of you will say, who? Oh, she sat there by the sound booth. Yeah. Well, maybe I remember her. You never talked to her. You never said something to her. And you know, all the wisdom of God is in this place, and we don't see it. Isn't that true? Amen. Good, I'm preaching better than you're entering me, right? Okay. Honor government, okay? We could read Romans 13, verse 1, 2, and 3. Can you put it on? Romans 3, verse 1, 2, 3. And you know, sometimes we have problem with that, honoring government, okay? But God says, you know, you honor the government. And you be subject to governing authority. Pray for them. Authority are appointed by who? By God. People who fear God pay their tax. Right, Diane? And if they don't pay their tax, she's on her case. See, if you don't respect the government, she's on your case. If you don't take care of your kids and do something stupid with your kids, Michelle back there, she'll show up on at your doorstep. Isn't that true? You don't want to do that. And, you know, the government will take care of your kids. No, the government is not that bad. Go to other country, and you'll see what it is. You know, yes, they have maybe rules and whatever, but I'm saying you can live a healthy life, prosperously, health-wise, and financially, you can do that, and they're not going to stop you because they know you're going to be paying more tax, right? How many has ever been audited? You see, one? Anybody else? Two, three? Is that fun? It's not fun. Don't go there. It's not because they will make sure you pay your tax, and don't complain about it. Just fill the report and fill it right. Honor the government, pay your tax, and they will treat you right. And even if they come back and they want to audit you, say, okay, well, let's do it. Don't complain. Don't grumble about it. You know, honor the government. Bible says to. So see, fear of God or fear of man, and I want to take you to Proverbs 3. If you want to look at verse maybe 7, we'll look at that. Verse 1 to 10. Okay. Proverb 3, verse 1 to 10. This is good. Are you with me? Yeah. Anybody sleeping yet? Okay. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my command. It's a heart thing. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. God is not in the subtraction business. He's on the addition business. And once you start adding, then he goes into multiplication. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, mercy and truth. Write them in the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. If you fear God, it will flow into God and into man. It'll change you because you're doing things because now you know what the commandments mean. It's like, you got to do that because if I don't do that, it's not going to be good because I love God. Okay, so honor your government. God has ordained church and pastor. Now, this one is found in Proverbs 6:16, but we're not going to go there. You may not agree with where we're going, what we're doing, or who we are, basically. But if you sit here, if you love us, okay, you may not be totally 100% agreement with everything, but it doesn't matter. You know, you could argue with me, but God has placed pastors in church, so you gotta, even if it's not me, maybe it's another pastor from another church, respect his office. Respect a police officer's office, because you know what, Bill, because you have police around, they'll protect you. When Clarice run at night, they'll catch her and bring her back home, right? So all this, you learn to do this, to respect the community, the elder, the people on the board. I mean, you know, you can complain about everything, but they're doing something. And God has placed government over you. You know, it's church leadership is the same thing. You know, what people do sometimes at church, they could not do in a business. They would get fired right away. You know what I mean? They may get together in a little hub, two or three, and say, see what the pastor's done? He shouldn't have done that. Look at those walls, awful. Look at that cross, it looks bony, right? Look what he done. And you know, you get a little group of people and talk about it. What you're doing is hurting yourself. You know, you don't have to agree with everything, but we have to walk together in love, okay? And that's what we're seeing in this place, and that's what we want to see even more. And I talked about a little bit about business, okay? You know, God is not paying you to preach, not God, but the business is not paying you to preach. They're paying you to work. But if it's in your break time and somebody asks you a question about God, about you don't have to crawl in a hole, you can tell them about the hope that's in you and this Christ Jesus, you know? And you don't tell your boss what to do because unless he asks you or something, you go there to serve. So if you serve at work, if you serve at church, if you serve wherever you go, what's happening now? You're beginning to fear God. You're beginning to obey God, respect God. And now your life is changing because you're a giver. See, the mindset is sometimes because we still got the spirit of rebellion. And if I ask somebody to do something, well, I can't, Pastor. I can't because I got to go to the gym. And then I got to meet my friend. And then I got to go look for a dress or a pair of pants or something. And you know what happened is sometimes it's all about me, me, me. I want everything from God, but I don't want to give anything to someone else. Then we'll operate in the fear of God. It can be the same in your giving. Well, let's read it. It says, verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. We could stay there for a long time. Fear God and depart from evil. It will be health to all your flesh and strength to all your bones. Honor the Lord with your possession and with the first fruit of your increase. So will your barn be filled with plenty and your vat will overflow with new wine. See, this is God's promise, right? You don't give because you have to give. Matter of fact, it's not even in the Ten Commandments. If you look well, it's not even there. You give because you want to give. And you know, we live in a country where even if you are on welfare, even if you are on a disability pension, you're richer than 90% of the world. And there's no reason why we should not obey God's word. If I take, for example, my time is coming up now, I'm going to stop pretty soon, but if I say to you today, I can't do that, but if you give me $100, anybody in this room that can hear, give me $100, and I will give you $10,000. Is that a good deal? How many of you guys will be able to find $100? You probably would nod your head and say, hey, give me $100, right? I'll give you $200 back. If you trust me that I will do that, then you will find that $100 guarantee anybody in this room. By tomorrow, the money will be on the table here. Because you know you're going to get the $10,000. See, it's all a matter of trusting what I've said and trusting me. When you can trust what I said, you know that the pastor said that, he's going to do it. I just got to bring $100, put it on the table, and he's going to give me $10,000. You would do it, no question asked, because you trust that I would do it. And it's the same with God's government and God's economy. You know, we do things because he asked us to do. Bring your first fruit and all. And when we do that, we trust him. Then he'll bring it to pass. Somewhere down the road, he will bless you financially. You know what I mean? You don't have to question that. You just know for a fact. So, okay. So if you fear God to your finances, you know what? He's going to bless you. So God is calling us to make a stand. Gora et stativ. Does that mean anything to you? You weren't listening? I'll do it again. Gora et stativ. Yeah. Yeah, it's Sweden, isn't it? I hope it is. Make a stand. How do you say make a stand? She doesn't know. She's been in Canada too long. All right. So, God is calling us to make stand in our life. You know, we can't go and preach the gospel and talk to people if we don't personally say, God, I see you want me to touch other people's life. And you know, when you do that, that's when you begin to fear him. Respect, reverence. How many knows that there's something you could do for somebody else that would really bless them, right? That's the fear of God. Something that you do for others. You know, it's just nobody's asking you, nobody's, it's just that's what you feel in your heart to do something. I want to close in prayer, and we're going to go on to the fear of God a little bit deeper. This is more this opening. Because as we receive from God, and you know, there is no condemnation in both. There's no condemnation when you, you know, receive the grace of God. And there's no condemnation when you love and respect God and others. There's no condemnation. It's a balanced life. You want to live a balanced life? All right. I'm going to pray. Do you want to live a balanced life? How do I know you want to live a balanced life? Do you want to live a balanced life? Okay. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day, Lord, because You brought us into this place, Lord. And Lord, we see young people. We see older people. And Father, a lot of answers are just around us. Sometimes we cry to you for an answer, but it's all around. We pray, Father, that as we come into this church, Lord, we realize that, Father, we need one another. And as we go out of this place, Father, we realize that people need you. You need us. So we want to thank you for your goodness, Lord. We want to thank you for what you're doing. We just bless your name, Father. And Father, thank you for your word that just is so precious, Lord. And Father, we just allow to take your Bible here, Father. And Father, that just open it up, Father, and see the riches in it, Lord. We give you thanks, Father, because it transformed my life and it'll transform their life, Father. We will not be the same. We will make a stand for you, Lord, like the children of Israel. We will not bend, bow, and I know, Lord, that we will not burn. We want to thank you. Father, those are your people here. Bless them this week as they go. Thank you, Father, that they will make a difference, Father, to today, tomorrow, the next day. And just cover them with your blessing and your grace, Father. We just bless you. We just thank you, Father. And the saint said, amen and amen. God is good. Let's stand. All right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do the same thing what we did at the beginning. I want you to go find somebody of wisdom and somebody that maybe you never talked to before.